You're listening to Single Swipe Repeat, a brand new podcast from Cosmopolitan. Our single years are filled with fun, adventure. There are times when we experiment, meet new people, try new things. Ultimately, we're just trying to figure out who we are and what we want. We partnered with Tinder to champion the single journey and to hear real dating stories from young people across the country who are living their best single lives. I'm Faye Brennan, Sex and Relationships Director at Cosmo, and this week we're headed to Silicon Valley and its largest city, San Jose. Now, San Jose has been dubbed Man Jose for the hordes of men that drastically outnumber women in the area. The odds are good for women dating in Silicon Valley, but are the goods a little odd? Let's kick things off with Katie.
So I had been like kind of seeing this guy for about like 3 or 4 months. He was here on a visa from Uzbekistan, but he had overstayed his visa. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm being deported. And so a couple weeks later, I go back up to San Francisco. Well, I open up my Snapchat maps and I see that he's in San Francisco. And so I message him and I'm like, I thought you got deported. And so he asks to meet up with me a couple days later. And so we're talking and he asks me, were you with anyone? And I was like, well, yeah, like I thought you were gone. Like I had a rebound. And he got really, really mad at me. He was telling me like, oh, that's not okay. That's not okay for women to do. Women need to be loyal. He had some very like old school misogynistic views of women, very much believed that women should be, you know, in the house, taking care of the family. And I was like, well, have you been with anyone? And he goes, well, yeah. He was like, oh, that's different. I'm a man. Like, I can do that. Like, it's my right. Like, it's okay. Like, it's unacceptable for women to move on so fast. I feel like slut shaming is something that, like, I've had to deal with before. And I think that when it comes to women dating, it's not as acceptable for them to, you know, date around, go and meet other people. But I think that to men, it's kind of a game still. And I think that's just really, really unacceptable.
All right, I am here with Zach Kornfeld. He is one member of the group, The Try Guys. You guys have a book coming out, right?
It's called The Hidden Power of Fucking Up. Do we curse on this podcast?
Yes, we do.
Thank God, because there's a curse in my title. Didn't think about that when we wrote it. We're like, oh, we're going to have to promote this thing.
Okay, so what about Katie?
Well, that's super fucked up. That's a double standard right
so
there.
So fucked up.
If anything, in Man Jose, it should be the opposite, because you are lucky that you got one of the apparently 14 women in the whole city.
Right. Screw that guy for slut shaming her at all, because seriously, that's always been my motto, especially when you're in the early stages of dating. So you're on dating apps, like, it is, so much of it is kind of a numbers game, and you'd be remiss to put all of your effort into one person when you're just getting to know them. Like, I tell all of my single girlfriends, you should be dating multiple people at a time, only in the beginning, and then once you like one of those options, let all the other ones go.
Well, I guess actually the first question is, when do you decide that you're just a one-on-one thing?
Yes.
Because in the beginning, I think it's totally okay to have a date with two people in the same
absolutely
week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But back to the slut-shaming thing.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. Yeah. He's a
slut-shaming
total
in 2019,
standard.
Like, should not exist. Like, seriously, the just stereotypical bullshit that we have to deal with just because we're trying to date and live our lives, like, we shouldn't be shamed for seeing multiple people at a time. I mean, it makes me very, very angry.
What's going on in Silicon Valley with the totally disproportionate ego of men?
Yes.
Related to their power, related to their pursuit of power and their
money.
Status, money, and all that, that they think they have the right to have this double standard.
But yeah, just the idea that, like, women in Silicon Valley already have it hard enough because they're very much so outnumbered. And to at all treat them lesser than in any way, but especially when it comes to their dating life, that's just all kinds of messed up.
It's a big boys club over there.
Yeah.
But it's also like there's a scarcity of women for these guys and they're all going after it. So then wouldn't that be even more important to treat them with some goddamn respect?
Exactly.
To treat them as human beings, to go above and beyond, to be a fucking gentleman.
Absolutely. Preach.
Is decorum dead?
Our first call-in is Luke. He's an engineer who used to work at Tesla. So we asked him about the culture in Silicon Valley.
Okay, if you're a girl in Palo Alto, you're like, okay, what's the next idiot going to say? Tesla, Google, Facebook.
Right.
Yeah,
I
get it. You got some cash.
All right.
Like, those are these guys that make a ton of money, but they are terrified to talk to women. So if you put that combo together, you're like, I have a lot of money. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just going to talk about the one thing I have going for me. And they're actually great guys. And when I talk to them, they laugh all the time. It's so much fun. And then they talk to women and they like switch to this completely other person. And they don't, to be honest, it's so hard to not just be like, oh, I want to impress this person or do something different. But like, I have a friend who's a PhD and he's a super smart guy. He's doing cancer research. He, you know, he's a crypto millionaire, whatever. And he, I just say, when I went out with him, when I first started hanging out with him, I was like cringeworthy. I'd hear him talk and I'd be like, oh man, this isn't going to go well. Like, we went out with him once and he got his PhD and literally just went up to girls and started screaming, I'm a doctor.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Which was hilarious.
I would run so far away.
It's like the archetype. I'm insecure, but I have something going for me. Like, it was so hilarious. But that guy, he's so smart. He was winning like math competitions, like at a national level when he was in like high school. He was like, I was a local celebrity in the nerd community. And then when he went to college, he was too. But when he got out of college, he's like, well, I don't have like all of my accolades and confidence around my stuff. So he had like situational confidence. But his skills are in a different area. It, like, the big thing about guys that I talk to on Tinder and just people in this Bay Area in general, they're like constantly trying to meet a girl, to date a girl. And I said, well, you have a bunch of Tinder matches. Just say, hey, I'm just looking for friends. You want to hang out? You could even bring 5 Tinder dates to the same place and just say, hey, I just want to meet some new people.
Unfortunately, I think still love is the one category that we cannot write code for.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, it's going to be one-to-one.
Yeah, I totally agree. But also, if you're just looking to meet new friends, Tinder's got features for that too, like festival mode, which helps you actually find a crowd to hang out with before you go to a music festival, which is pretty cool. But that's not the problem we're trying to solve here for our boy Luke.
Exactly.
Okay, so I want to find you some love. So where are you at right now? And what is your current dating situation? What are the holdups? How do we make this happen?
Yeah. Well, first holdup is my personality is a little eccentric.
Okay.
So when I go out, I still have a little bit of insecurity. I'm like, I'm going to be myself, but I'm also in the back of my mind going to be like, is this
right? So let's dive in right there, because the answer is probably not, right? You're going to fuck up. You're going to make some mistakes. You got to embrace it. You got to go for it.
Right.
What I encourage people, really in every facet of life, but especially dating, because this is what I had to go through, is just ride it, man. Just grab it by the horns and fail as hard as you fucking can. Mm. So think about, what are you afraid of? What do you think is the worst thing that can happen? What is the worst thing that you can say? What is the truest thing inside of you that you don't want anyone to know? Let it out. Say that joke that you think is too nerdy. Of course, don't be a creep. Don't be a weirdo. Yeah. But be willing to put yourself out there and be vulnerable and see what that feels like. It's going to feel weird. It's going to be embarrassing. Your face is going to turn a little flush and red. It's going to be awkward, but you're going to still be there. You're going to be standing, and you do that again and again, you're going to realize that it's not so bad. The impact is going to soften. So go out, do me a favor, go out a few nights with the intention of failing. And you're not there to pick anyone up. You're not there to bring anyone home. You're not there to get any numbers. You're just going to go talk to people as a friend and have some fun. And some people are not going to respond to you.
Yeah.
But you're going to go through that process, rinse and repeat, and you're going to realize that the vulnerability is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't connect with someone, that's fine. And you'll move on.
Totally. Right.
First and foremost, it's got to operate from a place of respect. So if you think you're making someone uncomfortable, you got to respect their boundaries. But
absolutely,
I would say the first thing we got to do is separate the talking from the pursuit. And and first we need to learn how to go out there and just hang out with women.
Yes.
And not have this thing in the back of your mind is, how do I say the right thing to make them sleep with me?
Or how do I pick them up?
Yeah, like, how do I pick them up? How do I
say that needs to die?
Do you have female friends?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Cause
I mean, I think like gay friends, female friends, like anybody that helps you just connect with people in a way that you're not trying to sleep with them. Like, that's, if you have someone in your life that, like, for example, guys that have sisters are typically a lot better with women because they've seen a girl just be a normal girl, be kind of just a dorky girl. And they're like, well, it's just my sister. Like, we're cool. And, you know, it's not a scenario where you always have to be pursuing that thing, because girls don't like that either. They're like, okay, why is this guy rushing me? Like, he's trying to get me to the end. It's like, women like to watch the whole movie and then the ending is the ending. Guys just want to rush to the end. Like, I gotta get to the end here. And that just is never, it's like, one, just enjoy yourself, have a good time. Why are you trying to push this forward so hard?
Gotta enjoy the movie. The unfortunate truth is that on the weekend, every guy is going out, and in their mind, they're like, tonight's the night that I'm going to get laid.
Right.
And they're all going out with that pursuit, and it goes down to the shirt that they wear, their nicest untucked button-down shirt. They spray their little cologne, put on their nice watch, and it's like this idea of, all right, well, tonight I'm going to get laid, and if I don't, then tonight's a failure. So now they're operating like a shark, and then they're too nervous to talk to people, and then they start drinking a little more just to loosen up, and now they're talking sloppy, and like, that's, you're with that, it's almost the goal that you have is going to ensure that you don't hit that goal.
Right.
The only way for quote-unquote success is to go with a different intention.
With a different intention.
You're out there to make friends and to have fun. You are there to enjoy yourself, and then all the conversations you have are not being guided by how do I say the right thing to make her sleep with me. It's, how do I say the right thing that it would make me earn a new friend? How am I just fun? How do I provide fun to the world?
Right.
And that's hard, and it's not the way that we are trained, because again, the myth, the hope is that every night you go out, you're gonna find someone to bring home.
Right. PSA to men everywhere, like, there is nothing worse than a being approached at a bar that, like, clearly me and my friends are talking. That is the most annoying thing, and until men get that into their head, like, they're just gonna keep striking out, especially when you're approaching people at the bar. And like, I hear it left and right. Guys complain about it all the time. They're like, oh, like, I can never pick up girls in real life. It doesn't work. Like, that's your number one
problem. 'Cause it doesn't fucking work.
You're not approaching women to get girls. Like, you're approaching someone because from the outside perspective, they seem like an interesting person that you want to get to know. So, like, that's the reason that you should be approaching them. And that's like, hi, I want to get to know you as a human being. Like, can I ask you some questions? Can we start a conversation? And if you're approaching anybody else in any other way, it's not going to work.
I mean, it's like, we've all had that. The night that you go out with no intentions is the night that everyone is like, wow, who are you? How do I talk to you? You look like you're having a good time. Can I hang out with you guys? And it's like, get away from me. I'm in my own world tonight. And the second you go like, all right, I'm going to finish this drink and I'm going to go talk to her, it's like, all right, that's going to fail. Yeah. That's going to suck.
It's like, nope, that's when you go home.
Yep.
But we heard from Tinder that there's a trend among young daters, like in college, who actually use Tinder at a bar to match with the people that are there so that they actually have a reason to go up to them and have something to talk about. That's kind of cool. It kind of minimizes the chances of getting totally shut down, which I'm here for. All right, back to the phones. We're going to hear from Cindy. She's a behavioral therapist turned freelance writer who dates engineers in Silicon Valley. And they have no problem asking her how much she makes on a first date.
I used to be a behavioral therapist, but now I'm a freelance writer.
Does that help you when you're dating to have such a different profession than most women out there?
It does, in the best ways and also in the worst ways.
Oh, okay.
So
explain.
In the best ways, because I have a lot to talk about. They've never met somebody with my kind of job or with my kind of hours or the things that I do or the things that I go through. But then in the worst way, they are so interested. They want to know, oh, do you have an editor? Do you have a publisher? What are you writing? Can I read it right now? How many words do you write? How much money do you make?
Mm.
Where are you published?
Wait, they really ask you how much money you make?
Oh, yeah.
Just point blank on a first date?
Silicon Valley thing, I think.
It's the Silicon Valley. Yeah, it's
kidding?
So expensive here that they just want to know.
Holy
but
shit. Do you tell them?
Just so we know, how much money do you make, Cindy?
You haven't bought me a drink yet, so I
don't need
that to myself.
Touche.
Yeah, it's usually rude, and especially growing up as a child in the 90s, I was always told, when you start dating, you never ask that question. But out here, people want to know. They want to know how much your rent is. They want to know where you live. They want to know the price range. They want to know everything about it. I usually try and skip over it because as a writer out here, I don't make that much.
Right.
So I try and skip over it and ask them something about themselves, to which I usually get like a one or two word answer. And then it's just pulling teeth.
Ugh, I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah, I only have a cursory knowledge of Silicon Valley, but I, as you know, speaking to someone who is very prone to being self-obsessed with my work, it's hard, right? You feel like every minute you're not working is a minute that you're losing your competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. And I know that Silicon Valley is that to the nth degree, mm-hmm. and that every single person there comes there with this dream of how do I become the next tech billionaire? And so I think we need to on dates, shake them out of their head, because that's how they're wired. Every moment they're thinking about how do I, you know, what is going on with my work? How do I solve this problem? How do I engineer this solution? And how do I get that next step? Have you ever tried activity dates?
Yeah. I've gone golfing before.
So that for me in early dating was always my favorite move, is figuring out something that we could do active together.
Yes.
Because I think it sounds like this is a more exaggerated version of it, but a lot of people struggle to find things to talk about on a first date. I know
totally.
I did, and I'm only sort of awkward. So one of my moves used to be is I would find a bar. Honestly, the guys should be figuring this out, too. It's not just on you, but find a bar that has something else to do next door. That way you have a part one and a part two. And if it's going okay, you mix it up, you change the energy in the middle.
Yep.
And it could be as simple as like a bar that has darts. And now you guys get to be competitive together.
Shuffleboard.
Yeah. Love it. Or like Connect Four.
Exactly.
There are all those board game bars. Mm-hmm. But something where you can be faux competitive and have a little fun and start to suss each other out.
Right.
And you're not worried anymore about, okay, what do I say next? How do I make him like me? Or how does he make me like him? And now you're having fun. You're two friends engaging in an activity.
Right. Given your background with in behavioral therapy, how would you diagnose most of the daters in Silicon Valley?
I definitely think it does have something to do with their job and the way they go about their job out here, because everybody out here is from somewhere else. We have a lot of people out here from Texas, Colorado, India, China, Germany, but they all sort of act similarly because they all work at the same kind of companies. Facebook is right down the street. Google's right here. YouTube is right there. And the engineering jobs, they all work in big projects. And so it's sort of like when they go on the date, they expect to say XYZ and expect me to say ABC.
Okay.
Sometimes I do feel like it is me because there are so many guys here. Am I just dating the wrong type of guys now? Maybe I should move away from engineers. But then even the guys who aren't engineers sort of have that engineering trait since it's so prevalent out here.
If anyone has the tools, it's you.
Yeah,
you
it's
gotta
you.
Help us.
You gotta like.
But I don't want to feel like I'm
at work
on dates with these guys, which sometimes it feels like.
All right, Zach. Well, thank you so much for coming. I feel like we covered so much ground in this episode.
I don't know if we solved any of the world's problems, but we tried.
I don't think that was our MO, but
it's always my MO.
I think you gave some excellent advice. I mean, if Luke doesn't take your guidance, I mean, I don't know, but
we'll see.
All right. So where can everybody else see you next? Find you next? Bookstores, podcast?
There's a lot going on. So we have a YouTube channel called The Try Guys. Our new book, The Hidden Power of Fucking Up, comes out on June 18th. So it's available bookstores everywhere. It's available online. You could get an audiobook. So many ways to get books these days.
Love it. Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
If you have a dating story that you feel like we need to hear, hit me up on Insta at FayeBaby4 or on Twitter at FayeBrennanNYC with the hashtag SingleSwipeRepeat. Thanks for listening to Single Swipe Repeat by Cosmopolitan in partnership with Tinder. Produced by Edit Audio, with special thanks to Steph Colborn, Cecilia Keating, Katie Jensen, Megan Boise, Courtney Turnbull, Sarah Schroeder, and Marnie Braverman. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe, leave us a review, and stay tuned for next week's.